Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. My next guest, from a tender young age of 7 years old, all the way until he was about 16, 17 years old, he was accompanying his mother at many of the different evangelical conventions, conferences, the likes of Benny Hinn, T.D. Brooks, and some of the world famous preachers that are out there. And then he woke up, he realized, hold on, what's going on? All this scandal that's involved with all of these preachers out there, all the corruption. And then he just left religion altogether. Got involved in a nightclub scene, in the club scene, the party scene. But he's here on The Dean Show today to tell us his story. We want to know where he's at today. That's the important thing. Not yesterday, but today. Where is he at? You're going to hear his story here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
This is
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Hamid?
Alaikum salam.
How's it going?
Alhamdulillah, I feel good.
We introduced you as the evangelical Christian kid who was out there at all the different evangelical conferences. Is this right?
Yeah, I was going at a young age. I was going right away.
When did you start? Was it right at 7 years old?
I mean, I, as long as I can remember, 5, 6 years old, I remember waking up in the morning, my mom, you know, doing the Bible studies and so on and so forth. But when I got to like 7 or 8, that's when I can remember actually going to different conferences and starting to see all these things firsthand, like all the different preachers and pastors and such.
Now, your mother, she's deeply involved with many of these conventions.
Yeah.
Is it right? Do they have like, you know, a certain organization that sends out blast emails and say, okay, this person's in town, Joe Osteen or TD? I mean, I said his name wrong. It's TD. What's
TD Jakes?
TD Jakes. He's like a big time.
Yeah, he's one of the top ones actually. He's huge in the southern part of the United States.
Is she involved in a network? Now she gets all of the information, and then she would just grab you by her arm and say, "Let's go."
Yeah, when she first started out, one of the big ones that she used to follow was this one, Pastor named Morris Cirillo. And once he started going in, then she started receiving emails and phone calls and different things like that. And when she started to get these notices of going over, then she would take me with, and we'd be there. And it's pretty much like a same thing as like a church service, but it's like an extra step further, you know.
Okay, at that age, you're really not. I mean, at 7 years old, you just follow along with your mom. But at what age did you start to see like, hold on, these people are like falling down in front of me, speaking in tongues, something I can't even understand.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of this weird stuff going on, and then you were just like driven away from religion altogether because of this. At what age was that? What happened? Tell us. Talk to us.
Man, I mean, right in the beginning, when it was starting, like when I was young, under 10 years old, I was going into what they call like the children area of the convention, where they would put you with like an assistant pastor, I guess you could say. And they're just doing like different songs and different things like that, and kind of doing the same type of thing you do at a service where they're teaching you different things about the Bible. But as I got to maybe like 10 or 11, I remember telling my mom, I don't want to be in that area. I want to go up where you are at, you know. And I would start to see, you know, everything, you know, people like falling down in the spirit, and people talking in tongues, and you know, people just kind of starting crying out of nowhere, you know. And I guess these are people just like getting into the moment, you know. But I always wondered, like, at that point, I was like, am I doing something wrong? Because I'm not feeling anything. I just kind of like, I saw it as like, this is just interesting that everyone else is doing this, but I'm not doing any of that, you know.
You mentioned once that you saw a lot of people just falling, and then you felt like, hold on, am I supposed to fall? Because you kind of just, you know, blend in.
Right.
You kind of just go, it's a domino effect.
Yeah, there were basically, there was a couple times where basically they would line you up, and he would start carrying around what they called anointing oil. And it's something where, I don't know the specifics of it, but basically it was like he would put his hands on you, he would have the oil, and then once he put the hand on the person, they start speaking in this tongues, and then they would fall back. And it was almost like, to say it in layman's terms, like a conveyor belt. You're just going down the line, and each person's going down one by one. And I was at the point where, you know, my mom's sitting next to me, everyone goes down, and they get to me, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I got to feel something's going to come up, something's going to happen. And then he put his hand on, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, like, because I didn't, there was nothing. I just went back just to follow the crowd, you know.
You didn't want to be the odd one out.
Yeah, I didn't, because if I stand there, I'm thinking, like, I'm doing something wrong, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, you know. Uh-huh. So
for many people that don't know what this speaking in tongues is, they're going to hear it right now. I think in one of those videos, that was T.D. Jakes. Yeah. Now he's speaking something, and that something is sounds like gibberish. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't fit in any language bracket, and you can kind of make things up, shiggy jiggy ja ja whatever. It's just a gibberish.
Yeah.
I mean, did that go through your mind when you're listening to this?
Yeah, I mean, there was each person that you would hear doing it does it in a different way. You know, it's not like there's one universal tongues that everyone speaks. It's you know, my mom would do it, and other people would do it, and it's just their way, I guess, of being like filled in with the Holy Spirit. You know, and this is just like getting caught in the moment, I guess.
Uh huh. So okay, now you're going through all this, and how at what point did you realize? Hold on, this stuff did it make sense?
I mean, there were moments, of course, I was young, I was listening here and there, and some things I would listen to stories that they were talking about, but that aspect of it, I never experienced it myself. I never, I never fell back, I never spoke in tongues, I never did these things, so I never kind of, like, bought into that aspect of it. But the religious part of it, I think, from my opinion, I think I was too young to and grasp all the different concepts of one God and, you know, what Jesus, son, where does he fit into the equation? And this, I never really asked those questions at that age, you know?
Yeah. Now, you got Benny Hinn. You also attended some of his conventions twice.
Many times,
actually. Many times. Benny Hinn. He's like one of the biggest.
Yeah. He's he actually sells out stadiums. Like, you go to like these big, like, football stadiums and basketball arenas, and they're stacked with thousands and thousands.
Dateline, Nightline, some of these major news stations, they've done some background checks on him and looked into, you know, his extravagant spending and, you know, people who are inside of his institution.
How do they pick the ones they want to go on stage at that point?
They have staff members that go through and give them a quick interview. And they'll ask them, can you, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've had rheumatoid arthritis of my left shoulder. I can't lift it. All of a sudden, can you lift your shoulder? Because if you can't lift your shoulder, you can't go on stage.
According to Andrew, the screening system has one purpose, to keep the truly sick or disabled away from Benny Hinn.
People were close with him, and many of them have come out and exposed him for being somebody who's, you know, basically just ripping the people off. It's a big business in this market.
I mean, looking back now, as I do my research now, just to kind of like see where all this stuff was and what I was actually into, that's more or less what I always find, you know, like even if you just take a random name and you go to Google or you go to Wikipedia, you go to some of these websites and it's it doesn't lie. Like that's what usually goes on the top of the list of some sort of scandal. Something was there. There was actually a really well-known singer back in the day. He was like one of the biggest among the kids. His name was Carmen. And it was always said like, oh, no, he's single. He's done celibacy towards God. Like he doesn't want to, you know, get a wife or anything like that. And then I read up recently that he basically had a scandal where he was had an affair with someone else's pastor's wife or something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the specifics, but you find most of these things going on with most of these guys. There's some sort of scandal behind
There's some kind of scandal.
Something, yeah.
And most of these guys were either good salesmen, good hustlers, guys who are out there knowing, looking at a way to cheat people. And, I mean, this is a real good business to be in.
Yeah,
you know, because Jesus is a product, and they're selling that product. That's what they call him, a product.
Yeah,
and they're selling them, and people are just many are just blindly following.
Yeah,
and you snapped out of it. I mean, you weren't really hypnotized by it, but when you got to a certain age, you mentioned something that you just wanted to believe in one God.
Yeah, I got to the point where I started looking at all this stuff, and I started because my dad, on the other hand, he was Muslim. And he was telling me things about Islam as well. But then when I go back to my mom, now she was telling me certain things. And it was kind of conflicting. So I got to the point where I was like, I don't even think I want to believe in any of this other, you know, Jesus, Muhammad, this. I just want to believe in God. I believe that it exists, but just that one. And that's I don't want to have to worry about any of the other specifics, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break, Hamid. And we'll be right back with more of your story Hamid's story here on The Dean Show.
It's simple to understand. Islam means submission. Look at the word. Submission not to yourself, not to your desires, not to anyone or anything.
Because at the end of the day, you get something, you always want more. You get some weed, you want more. You get some drugs, you want harder drugs. You get a girl, you want a nicer girl. You get a car, you want a nicer car. You get a house, you want a nicer house.
We've got so many pressures by enslaving yourself, worshiping God, loving God.
But submission to the one who created you.
And by worshiping God and seeking His pleasure, you get pleased and you enter paradise. God bless you.
Back here on The Dean Show with a very interesting story. Hamid, who at a young age, 7 years old, you were accompanying your mother.
Yeah.
Who was attending dozens of these evangelical conventions. And really, whenever we do a show, you know, we try to make sure that, you know, we're not trying to disparage on anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. But sometimes, you know, in delivering the truth, you know, when you love somebody so much and someone else is telling you that this person's cheating on you, this person's no good for you, and they even bring you the pictures and they bring you the proof, you know, those things hurt, but you're doing it out of the love. So it's not hard to find, if you want to know that many of these people who are, I mean, most of them, they're shysters.
World's greatest scammer, Benny Hinn.
What's his name, sir?
Benny Hinn, that's the world's greatest scammer.
They're just really out there taking advantage of people.
And so, to clarify as well, like, the people that I had met along the way, like, all these people that I used to hang out with and go to dinners with and being in that area, these were great people. I met people from all walks of life, people from other countries, and they were just always great people, you know, nothing ever against that. It's just now when you go into the realm of what they're actually learning,
it
is different.
So, I mean, you met a lot of interesting people, a lot of good people, you know, who really are, maybe that's their journey. They might have to go through that. But if you do the one thing, you call upon your creator, your maker alone, he'll guide you. He'll facilitate a way. So, I mean, it's interesting, you know, you can hear right now, and then one of some of these tactics and tricks, like Benny Hinn, you can hear him right now. He says, look into my eye. I'm not a liar.
Look at these eyes. I have never lied to you. Never. I never will.
When you hear him say, when somebody, you can just, anybody who's just using, not led by emotion, you can just hear what he just said, call the people up and said, I'm not no liar. You know, and definitely someone like this is someone who needs to be exposed and people need to be aware of. Now, let's keep going along. You left this. At what point did you just tell your mother, I'm not going to any more of these conventions? How did that work out from there?
I mean, there would basically be times where I got to the point where my mom would ask me, like, you know, it's coming up again in Dallas or it's coming up again in Orlando and such. And they said, like, you know, we're ready to go. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go this time. I would say I have, like, schoolwork or something. I just didn't feel like I was going, you know. And then it would start to get to the point where, you know, she would stop asking me and she kind of knew that I wasn't, you know, into it as much anymore, you know. But then from that point on, like, I started kind of doing things where it wasn't the best. And I started hanging out with a couple of people. I didn't get into anything bad stuff. I still hold on to my parents, you know, where they really grounded me strong. I never had a sip of alcohol, never smoked a cigarette, any drug in my life. And I'm proud because they taught me that. But I started doing things that were definitely, you know, just kind of taking me towards the wrong path, hanging out with the wrong people a little bit, you know.
So you kind of went into the party scene now.
A little bit, yeah.
You went that route.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long did that last?
I mean, that was like maybe 4 or 5 years, something like that. And I was just kind of like going to school, going to work, and then doing that on the weekends and everything. And I kind of got in the backseat a little bit, you know.
So what made you realize that, look, did you ever think about there's got to be more to life than just partying? There's got to be more to life than just following my desires? Okay, you grew up, you know, being exposed to something that, I mean, you know, the basic belief is that God sent his son, died for the sins of the world, that he was one with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three gods but one, Trinity, and the suicide of God. This, I mean, besides the shysters and the, you know, all the hocus pocus stuff that, you know, we've seen, the belief, did that make sense?
I mean, when I started actually researching into Islam, I started trying to compare the two. One thing that I do in my life in general is that when I try to go for something, whether I purchase something or go for something, I try to discount it. I try to kind of like find the wrong in it, because then it makes it strong. Like, you know what, it doesn't make sense, you know? So, like, for example, with Islam, that's what I tried to do, where I tried to, like, basically see what was wrong with this. I would see like, okay, Muhammad, what was the validity of what he's saying? I tried to look at, you know, how do Muslims believe in Jesus? I said, how do they believe in other stories in the Bible? What do they think of, you know, I just started comparing the two and finding out different things. And the more and more I learned, I just started seeing that, you know, Islam was making a lot more sense, a lot of more common sense. A lot of the stuff in Christianity was more faith, you know, just kind of like, you know, just believe, you know, like this is something where you just have to keep doing what you're doing, follow this path and just believe, you know.
It's kind of like, just trust me.
Yeah.
But if you're going to put your life savings into a house or a car and someone's just like, hey, I want a full inspection. But they said, no, just trust me. We wouldn't just, yeah, this, you know.
It's a huge investment. I don't know.
It's a huge investment. But this is our hereafter yeah. here. So this is very important. I mean, you did a smart thing. You just you took a scientific, analytical approach, and the more you did that, you know, you came at it like a skeptic, and what things just made sense.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, what started the whole thing was I started really looking at like what happens, like you said, when life does end. I mean, like my mom's not going to be here forever, my dad's not going to be here forever, family, friends is not going. I'm not going to be here forever, you know. So what does really happen? And people say some things, but something has to like click. Something has to make sense, you know. And the more and more I started searching into Islam and learning about how kind of like that way of life went and everything, there was not one thing that I found within Islam that made me think it wasn't right. Every single time I learned something new, it's kind of like I was going up a ladder and just kept going. I felt like I kept going in the right direction, you know.
But someone just watched some anti-Islamic film. And he says, man, maybe we got to send this guy a CD. He hasn't, you know, seen all these supposed, you know, terrorist attack that Muslims are blamed for. We know Islam has nothing to do with that. Or Islam oppressing women, Islam being backwards. Did you get exposed to these misconceptions?
Yeah, every single thing. And as I was researching into Islam, I started getting, you know, different things from different friends, Christian friends as well, you know, exposing to different things. You know, man, these guys are terrorists, and the women, they're oppressed. They look at them, they have to, you know, wear this thing, you know. And I think it falls into the category of it's a strong word, but it's ignorance. You know, I mean, once you start learning about something, the more you research into something, the more you understand something. And if you don't put any effort into researching it, then you're just left with a blank thought of something. You don't really know about it, you know?
In the nightclub scene, the party scene, the just do as you want atmosphere, hanging around with guys, many playing PlayStation, smoking weed, just wasting their time. Was there fulfillment? Not saying you were doing that, but I'm sure you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
And many youth are doing that. Those people that you know to this day who are still involved in bad things, did you have any fulfillment doing any of these things? And the people that you know that you look back now, are they happy?
I mean, to be honest, when I first started going into it, there was a sense of fun. You know, it was something new, it was something exciting. It was like everything was new to me. But then as I went down the line, I started realizing in my head, like, man, this is the same thing every week. Every single Friday, every Saturday, it's the same music, it's the same people, it's the same, kind of like watching a rerun of the same TV show, you know, and there's no other episodes coming on. It's just the same thing, you know? So I started thinking, like, I think this is getting played out. I don't think this is, you know, what people do the rest of their life, you know, in this type of atmosphere. And the people that do it still, it's, I think they feel a sense of emptiness. Something is still kind of missing there. So they try to fill it with this tons of music and tons of friendships. And then unfortunately get the alcohol in the system and now it takes you away, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what made you finally decide that I don't want to live that life? You know, and brought you to where you are today as a Muslim. You finally accepted Islam, is that right?
Yeah, I did, alhamdulillah. I mean, it's for me, like I said, I just kept finding things that made complete sense. I found things that didn't, you know, kind of hurt, like put things in a wrong perspective, you know, and everything that I found, it just, it made complete sense to me, you know. So as I started practicing, you know, the prayer and, you know, doing the fasting, and what's funny is I actually was fasting before I even became Muslim, you know. And I believed in these certain things, not only the health benefits, but also like just the belief of it. You know, I got it from my dad. And now that I've become Muslim, things just are a little bit easier. I feel like when I need help, I kind of go to him, and then, you know, everything kind of makes its own path for me, you know?
Give us an example of something, because people are hearing you say it makes sense. Give us one of those things, one of the main things that now you can share with the people about Islam that just makes sense.
The one thing for me, before I became Muslim, I had no sense of prayer. I really had no sense of, I mean, I remember my mother always saying, make sure you pray, make sure you do this, ask God for forgiveness, do this. but I had no discipline to it. So one thing now, when I started going with Islam, is the 5 daily prayers and the obligatory prayers and going to Juma on Fridays. I felt like it was a discipline that it gave to me. So it made sense. Like, it's a system that works, you know. And then when you need the help that you have to get, and when you want to make this connection with God, not something where you're just giving faith, that you actually can go in and it's something that's tangible, you know, something you're actually getting, and you know, it works.
We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more of Hamid's story here on The Dean Show.
Why do you choose to copy someone else's style and swag just to be unoriginal impersonators? When you could be something different, something unique, and not follow these unguided manipulators. They say imitation is the highest form of flattery, but it's a slippery slope and it's easy to fall into a false sense of what is really reality. There are billions of people in this world who are all completely special in their own special way. But then we start to listen to the same music, watch the same movies, and start doing the same things day after day after day. You can start to be stuck in a rut and you don't even know it. You're not happy in this life and your actions begin to slowly show it. You're always looking for the new hot fad to follow, but in reality your life is meaningless and it only gets more hollow. All of these temporary pleasures never lead to true happiness. You find yourself saying and doing things and wondering, how'd I get into this mess? Mistakes and regrets are so easy to create, but that doesn't mean what you did in your past has to seal your fate. What if life wasn't meant to be so difficult and crazy? Where every second and every minute of the day just feels like mental slavery? Where every problem that comes into your life, the solution to your problem doesn't have to seem so hazy? In fact, if you go on the right path, it could be crystal clear. Because down this path, there is no doubt, no confusion, no contradiction, and nobody telling you to just have faith and hey, somehow, it'll all work out. At the end of the day, this existence we all live in did not just make itself. Something divine and all-knowing brought you into this world with a clean bill of health. The animals, the trees, the 7 seas, the air you breathe, all live in complete coexistence and in perfect harmony.
Back here on The Dean Show with Hamid. And next phase of life, you go through the partying, friends who are partying, following your desires. Is there a void there?
Yeah, it's an empty feeling, yeah.
it gets played out quickly?
Yeah, it gets real fast.
And now, did you always have this firm belief that there is a maker of mankind, that there is a designer for this whole universe and everything in it?
100%. I mean, too many things that you see just in your daily life, it's like you have to, if you don't question, I think your perspective is wrong. I think if you can't look at the trees and look at this, just different stuff that's going on, the animals, I mean, just the sense of being able to, like, just breathing, you know, it's a miracle in every step that you take, you know, so it's, mm-hmm. it has to be a creator, it has to be something that made all this, you know.
Now, there was, one of the main differences, there's a lot of similarities because the message comes from the source, the creator of mankind. So he sent messengers and they all came with the same message, worship the creator, not his creation, and they came with evidences and proofs. And then when people started to talk to you, as we talked before, about the concept of the pure monotheism in Islam, that you only worship the creator. You don't go through Jesus, Muhammad, or anybody. You just worship God, just the maker of mankind. How did that resonate with what's inside of you?
It made sense. You know, I think anything in life that you look at, if it's simple, the simpler things in life are always the best. You know, I have other people in my family who are actually of the Catholic faith. And there's a lot of complexities in that, you know, with the rosaries and going to confession and kind of like giving your sins to it, like somebody behind a door, you know. And it's there's a lot of like questions that kind of, if something you do starts at, like questioning more, 4 or 5 more questions, then I think it kind of gets too complex. And I think this is just simple. You follow God. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was the final messenger of God. And the messages before them, peace be upon all of them, were bringing the same message.
That's simple to understand.
Very simple.
Worship the creator, not his creation. That made sense. And what was the final thing? Did you procrastinate a little bit? Because a lot of people, when they look into Islam, when they're brave enough to step forward, because there's a lot of vilification going against. People are maligning Islam, and there's a smoke screen, and people are trying to, you know, there's a lot of deception. But when you finally looked into it yourself, you said it made sense, right? But now, did you procrastinate in the beginning to finally accepting Islam?
I think for me, procrastination was my hardest hurdle, you know, my worst hurdle to go through. I mean, I was fasting during the month of Ramadan. I would go to Juma with family. I would sit in the back just to kind of see what was going on this before I accepted Islam. And I just kept on saying, like, man, I'm going to go a little more, search a little more just to make sure. I want to, you know, but then I started to think, like, man, I could end up being 56 years old, or I might not go till tomorrow. You never know what happens. And now I procrastinated too much, you know. So I just said, I believe in everything that's inside this book. I believe in everything that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, brought. in a message, and I think that I just had to take the leap of faith. There's almost a little bit of faith that goes into it, you know, but I think procrastination could be like a big killer if you kind of let Shaitan get in your ear too much, you know.
Why is this so important? And you actually do some spoken words, some poetry.
Yeah.
And people can see, we're going to show a little clip of yours.
So go and stand for days like sheep in a line, waiting for those new Jordans, the Xbox, or the new iPhone 5. There's always going to be a new one for you to go out and buy, something a little bit different each time for you to throw the old one to the side. But I'll repeat what I said to you earlier, that what you're doing is not the path to true happiness. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't the one who created you and gave you life be the one to give you eternal bliss? If you're starting to wonder why this life is feeling like a test, that's because it is. And guess what? There's a book that gives you all the answers to this life's quiz. Its name is the glorious Quran, sent by Allah as a mercy to the final prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which inside you can find absolutely no wrong.
Now, what motivated you to do this, the spoken word?
It kind of goes back to like when I was younger, I was really big into music. I was really huge into the hip hop, into the, you know, just like the lyricist of it, you know, like all the rhymes and rhythms and everything. And I guess it kind of stayed with me as I went in and accepted Islam. And certain things would kind of come up, like back in the day, I would have certain freestyles that kind of go in the back of my head. I had little things that kind of go in when I'm doing my daily things, you know. But now when I get into it, other things started going into it. I started like putting music to the side. I don't listen to it anymore. And now I kind of had different things that came into my head, and I started wanting to like just help spread it to other people who are maybe interested in knowing. So I decided to make a YouTube channel. I kind of got, you know, an idea from you with the Dean Show. And I decided to put something out there. You know, first step, don't procrastinate, just put something out there, you know. So I wrote some things down and made the video, and inshallah, somebody, you know, saw it and helped someone else out, you know, who was looking for the truth, you know.
A few more questions. We're almost out of time. Why is it so important to really reflect about the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? Why is that so important, do you think?
Because if you don't, it can just pass by. You're just kind of like on cruise control, you know. You have to... Reflection is a very huge thing, because if you don't look back and see what you've been doing and what possibly could come up and what happens, I mean, this body that we're given, this life that we're living right now, this up until, God willing, we get to 90 or 100 or something, we might not make it to that point, you know? So we have to reflect and see, what is the true purpose? Why are we here? Why is it that, you know, this earth is a small little speck compared to the rest of the universe? What do we have to do? What are we supposed to do while we're here? And once you start like just contemplating these thoughts, then you got to start researching. Just take the next logical step and start researching. If you find anything at all that goes against common sense, anything at all that just, it says, you know what, I think that's just hogwash, it's horrible, then let it go. But if it does make sense, if it becomes clear, then you got to be able to kind of take that leap of faith and don't procrastinate, you know?
Don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
For your mother, who's out there?
Yeah.
She's probably watching this.
Yeah,
right?
Probably.
You love your mother.
Oh.
And Islam, I mean, do you feel you even respect her more? Because Islam is telling us, it doesn't matter if she's Muslim, not Muslim, you have to respect your mother. You have to
100%.
Be good to your parents, you know, because, you know, by being obedient, good, you know, a righteous child, you know, serving her. Obviously, if she tells you to do something bad that's against God, you kindly tell
For
her,
sure.
I can't do that. But what would you like to share with your mother if she's watching right now?
I mean, just kind of, you know, kind of let like some of the defenses that you would kind of normally get and kind of put it to the side, and the media and all these things that they put out there about Islam in general, just kind of like put that to the side for a minute and really research the true origin. I mean, you know, pick up the book of, you know, the Quran, you know. And this book isn't cooties. It's not going to give you something. I mean, if anything, it's going to open up eyes a little bit, you know. And I think even if, like I said, similar with other thing, if something doesn't make sense, if something is against what your nature believes, then, you know, put it down. But if it does start to make sense, then, you know.
And that, if people can dig, because as soon as you open the verbatim word of God, the Quran, all over, it's telling you to worship the maker of mankind, the creator of mankind, and doesn't have anything in there that goes against humanity as a whole. It's calling you to everything good, everything yeah. organic, we call it, everything that would just bring peace and prosperity in a human being's life. Thank you very, very, very much for being
Thank
with
you
us
for
on
having
the Don
me.
Show. And another person's story, how they came to this beautiful way of life, Islam. Islam simply means submission to the will of the Creator, the one who made you, made this universe and everything in it. Jesus prayed to the Creator. The Lord's Prayer, O Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
That's Islam, submission to the will of God, not submission to the will of Jesus or anything in creation. And if you can understand that, and this is something that resonates with what's within your very nature, the worship of the one creator. That's it. That's what Islam is all about. And doing good deeds, preparing for the day of judgment, paradise at the end or the hellfire. And if you really have a sincere want for this, then do the very basic thing. Ask the creator alone. There's a lot of confusion out there, right? And who's the leader of confusion? The enemy to mankind. If you believe in a creator, then you believe that there is a Satan, a devil, who's trying to deceive mankind. So ask the creator for help. And when you follow many of these Benny Hinn's and all of these other people who are out there, you know, exploiting people, you see, I mean, it doesn't take too much to see the corruption that they're involved in, exploiting the people, and the false message that they're sending. So stop, take a look, analyze, put your emotions to the side, and ask the Creator alone. Very simple homework I'm giving you to do. Ask the Creator alone to guide you. That's it. We're not asking for your money. We're not going to send you any special genie in a bottle. Just ask the Creator alone to guide you. And don't forget, as we cut out, we started a hashtag on Twitter, Priceless Blessings of the Creator. Get with that on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. And share this message of peace with the world. Peace acquired by submission to the will of your Maker, the Maker of mankind, the one Creator. We'll see you next time, God willing. Until then, peace be with you.